As we come together on this fourth week of Advent, hopefully we've been able to reflect on the previous three. And we come today to hear what God has provided for us. So I invite you to join me in prayer as we begin. Most kind, wonderful, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, as these weeks of Advent have flown by, you have been with each one of us, and I thank you. And God, there are desires, there's requests, there's needs from everyone in this room. But God, right now, help us to focus on what you have provided for us today, for what you will speak. You may hear my voice, but God, I just pray that it's your message, that you would touch each person with exactly what you want them to hear. God, I just praise you, and I lift up this message to you for your guidance and blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Parenting expert Dr. Dr. T, says that every child desires to know the answers to three questions. Am I seen? Kids at school, you ask them, they want to be seen even when they don't. Am I worthy? That's a question that kids want to know. Is there value? And do I matter? I think that's something that we've experienced with the Bible Club kids, to instill that, yes, you do matter. You have value. You are worthy, and God sees you. And they have been giving a lot of the most correct answers when you ask. They know that Jesus loves them, and that they know that Jesus is there for them. But when a person feels seen, feels worthy, and feels they matter, they grow up to live an empowered life. Their world is different. They have value, and all of those things are a part of their life. These questions find their ultimate answer in God. Richard Rohr writes in Things Hidden, Scriptures as Spirituality, how God looks with love at each person. God's gaze, and it really is a thing. And to think about that, a gaze is to look steadily and intently, especially in admiration, surprise, or thought. Stare, intent, look, scrutiny. God is all of those looking at you. You know, it's not something that is strange or scary. We've all been probably victimized by someone that's just really dialing in, and you're going, quit staring. I mean, as a kid, how many kids heard or have you said to your child, quit staring? Don't go there. This is God. It's not a scary thing. He is gazing into you. He can see the inner you. He can see what's going on inside you. And to reflect on a comment from yesterday's celebration of life, eye to eye, he wants to see you. So God's gaze is an awesome thing. It's not something to be feared. It's something that we can desire. Today's sermon text tells the story of two women, and we learned that a little bit from the reading. But Elizabeth and Mary, and the way Elizabeth saw Mary. Think about that. Elizabeth lived in a different region. Mary probably had to travel a few days to get there. Elizabeth had lived years and decades of barrenness, of not being able to have a child. And she's pregnant now. And her cousin, her relative, Mary, comes in and she has the baby in her, Elizabeth has the baby jump, move. Not just a wiggle, it's something that she recognized when Mary walked in. Something's going on here in this story. Mary is coming as effectively an unwed mother in that culture to stay with Elizabeth, to visit with Elizabeth. But Elizabeth saw Mary as well as the way Mary saw herself as a result of her belief in God's favor. We'll see the importance of being seen by another person, being seen by God, and the outcomes of receiving the divine gaze. So there's more to this gaze than just a look. Today's text is Luke 1, 39 through 55. But before we begin to get to today's text, we're going to do a little bit of the backstory. In Luke 1, 28, Gabriel came to her, and this is Mary, and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And favored is highlighted for a reason. As we think about the words there, favored, it's actually defined as you who are as favored as you could possibly be favored. You don't top the word favor. This is the absolute top, best favored in the world. The kids today would say 100%. Maybe in this case it's 120%, but she is absolutely favored. It can't get any better than this. And this is what Mary is hearing. Favor says something about the one who is doing the favoring. It's not really saying anything about Mary. It's saying something about God's election of Mary. And I never really thought about how that plays in, but if you are favored by someone, they're the ones doing the favoring, not you. It's not you. It's what someone else is doing to you or for you. In Luke 1:38, then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed her. God didn't require worthiness. Think about that. He did not say, "You've reached a level of worthiness, so now we can move forward." That's not part of the conversation. God only asked Mary to participate with his plan. That's it. He asked her to participate. And think about that in our lives. God doesn't wait until we are worthy. All he asks us to do is participate in what he is already doing. It's not us. It's not that we're all of a sudden this special people, but we're favored because God wants us to participate much the way Mary did. And there's nobody in here that has had it at the level that Mary did as a young teenage girl. Did she fully realize, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She knew God, whatever his words were better than anything she could have done. And she was all in. Luke 1, 39 through 45. And I'm going to summarize those a little bit because you heard them a few minutes ago. Mary goes and sees Elizabeth, her relative. Elizabeth was also experiencing a miracle pregnancy. Upon seeing Mary, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and blessed Mary. Elizabeth's response to Mary's pregnancy was to bless her. We can reflect the loving divine grace to one another, witnessing the divine presence in other people. We can do that. We can see and present that to others. It's one thing to say we need to love our neighbor, but there's another thing entirely about walking across the street and meeting that neighbor and finding out what their needs are and listening to them and in word and deed showing them the love of Christ. I have a neighbor that lives across the street from me. I've talked about her a little bit. She's 90 years old, has a myriad of health issues. But when she needs something, I get a text. This is your pest across the street. Well, she's not my pest. She's not anybody's pest. She's a special person that I love dearly. But she said, do you have time to come over? Because she's rarely out of the house, especially in the wintertime. So I go over, and it may be something about, I can't get this lid off the jar. So I go over, and is that a big deal? For me, I could just do this. But for her, it was huge. It was a big deal. She comes up with some pretty bizarre requests from time to time. Fortunately, she thinks my garage has every conceivable thing to fix anything in it. Because she will look, and I will say, just give me a minute. And I'll walk back over, and I'll come over, and I'll dig through whatever, and I'll come back and fix her, whatever it is. But that's showing love. And I don't say that because it's me. This is just responding to a neighbor and experiencing the joy of seeing her almost in tears because she couldn't do what she asked me to do. Everybody in this room has that opportunity to help someone at some time. Seeing the value, that's God's gaze, looking into somebody to see the value in people. And I openly admit, some people, it's hard to see value, but God does. So you have to back up and say, okay, God, you see value in this person. Help me in the moment, in the time to respond. Remember Dr. T? I won't say his last name there. You remember the three questions? People need to know they are seen. If you wonder what that looks like, borrow a pair of crutches and walk in a busy, crowded area and find out how many people see you. Or better yet, borrow a wheelchair and navigate through a grocery store or a mall. Try and go through a door. People need to know that they are seen, not just because they're marginalized or hard straits, but they need to be seen, and they need to know they are worthy of love, and they matter to God. And if they matter to God, they should matter to us. Does that resonate in looking to love someone? God has called us to share that good news. So I am grateful when I get a text from the pest across the street, as she calls herself, because my family has grown to love this woman. There are so many things that she can't do, but she asks. Sometimes not as soon as she should. There's days that she's tried to fix or navigate things herself until she finally goes, I'm going to bother Kirk across the street. And there's never been a time that she's been a bother. God loves you so utterly and completely that he has given himself for you in Jesus Christ. That is an incredible statement. That you are loved so completely and utterly. Again, as the kids today say, 100%. God loves you, 100%. And he's given himself for you in Jesus Christ. His beloved Son has thereby pledged his very being as God for your salvation. It's in front of us. It's not something we can earn, something we can buy, something we could steal. It's a gift that is given to each one. In Luke 41 through 46, it's known as Mary's Song or the Magnificat. That's the term that refers to this. Mary's Song shows us that reciprocating divine presence always leads to outgoing concern for others. Mary is also known in Greek, can be translated to Miriam. Can anybody think of a Bible character, Miriam? Was Moses' sister back in the days of Pharaoh and the Israelites were in captivity, and Miriam found someone to care for her brother, and it happened to be royalty. Miriam sang, and you can go back and look, she sang about God leading the Israelites through the Red Sea to safety. She sang about that coming of God that saved their generation, their lives. Mary's song sings of God's faithful rescue of all people, not just the Israelites. Mary's song, through Jesus, the baby in her womb, came and has made our lives forever changed. We have a way of escape, a way to the throne of God because of Jesus Christ. And Mary's song addresses or talks about that. Mary returns the divine gaze in verses 46 and 49. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Can you just picture Mary saying these words? Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary reflects the divine gaze to others, particularly those who are lowly and hungry and in need. Mary's song says to the marginalized people, I see you. You are worthy of love and care, and you matter. What would our world be like if everybody believed that and everybody experienced that? There are many people that will tell you to your face, I've done way too much bad for that ever to be true. I can never be accepted. And that's what they believe, and that's what they live by. But God says, you are worthy of love and care. You matter. Jesus understands our human struggles, and everybody in this room has experienced struggles. Some are right now in the middle of some really tough times. God knows that. He understands. There's nothing that you did or didn't do. It's just where you're at. Maybe poor choices, maybe just circumstances. Doesn't change the fact that God understands our struggles. And Jesus will return to restore justice and God's peace on earth God sees us. And to make it very personal, Jesus sees you. Every one of you. Picture those eyes looking right at you. Had an instructor in college. He had blue eyes, and they could look right. You just knew he was looking right through you. He could see. It was just that intense look. And it had nothing to compare to what Jesus sees. God loves you so utterly and completely that he has given himself for you in Jesus Christ. And in the scheme of things, wherever we are today, in whatever situation we find ourselves, Jesus is there. He's not a magician that waves a wand and everything's utopia. But if we look to him, he will come beside us. And ultimately, we will be with him in his kingdom. And the times that we struggle and are going through with today or next year or what we've dealt with for a decade, in the scheme of things, really doesn't matter because we're going to be with Jesus ultimately. And I know that doesn't help in the middle of our struggle because it doesn't change it, but it does if we realize that, okay, you're aware of my situation. And you can help me with it, and I trust you. God's beloved Son has thereby pledged his very being as God for your salvation. Look for opportunities to encourage others. They may be very open and you can see them. Other times, they may be veiled pretty deep. But if you have an opportunity to help somebody, do it. If you have an opportunity to listen to somebody, do it. It's important. If you join me in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you for Jesus and the Spirit. We thank you for the scriptures that point everything to Jesus. And he points to you. God, gaze upon us. Let us feel that gaze and know that you love us so intently. And as opportunities come along to help somebody else, give us strength to step into that role if it's appropriate. And God, you know what is appropriate. You know all of the ins and outs. We look to you to lead us, to guide us. And as was pointed out with Mary, it wasn't a matter of was she worthy, but was she willing to participate with God? God, give us strength to participate with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to communion. And we do remember. I've chosen to read 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. And you may say, yeah, I've heard that before, recently. I've chosen to read it in the translation called The Voice. So I ask you to listen. I pass on to you the tradition the Lord gave to me. On the same night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Keep doing this so that you and all who come after you will have a vivid reminder of me." After they had finished dinner, he took the cup and in the same way said, "This cup is the new covenant executed in my blood. Keep doing this. Whenever you drink it, you and all who come after will have a vivid reminder of me. Every time you taste this bread, and every time you place the cup to your mouth and drink, you are declaring the Lord's death, which is the ultimate expression of his faithfulness and love until he comes again. Here at Grace Communion, anyone is welcome to the table. There are no restrictions. There are no limitations. God didn't put restrictions and limitations on us. He wants us to be loved. He is that love for us. He wants us to remember him. And this meal, this communion, the elements picture a remembrance for us, for him. You join me in prayer again. Loving Father, we thank you for the elements at the table, and we ask that you would bless them, the bread, the fruit of the vine. God, for Jesus that these elements come from, and for the remembrance that we constantly have with the Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take each one of us and wrap your loving arms around us. And God, on this fourth day of Advent, we can just feel your very presence. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to come as you feel led.
Let's pray as we close. Father, we close our service today with the final element of the Advent season, love. In a few days, we will be celebrating the birth of Jesus. We will be celebrating love, your love for us. In the midst of all the Christmas celebrations and sometimes distracting activities, keep us reminded of the real reason for celebrating Christmas. It all stems from your love for us. May we keep that foremost in our minds as we leave here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And my parting benediction is from Luke chapter 2, verse 14. You hear it all the time around the Christmas season. Praise God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace to the people who please him. May peace and love be with you as you celebrate the birth of Christ.